Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. And if you've been following the channel on a daily basis, you can see that I'm now back on screen. If you haven't been following the channel on a daily basis, then why not? You should have been, so you would understand what I'm talking about now. But anyway, I'm back. I've got the Czech shirt on. I've got the statue in the background. I've got the trees in place. Everything is all set for business as usual. And in today's video, I want to talk about the global population because the United Nations have announced that on the 15th of November, the world population increased to 8 billion. Now, this is a real fast forwarding of the population growth because we got the 7th billion child back in 2011. So in the last 11 years, we've added a billion people to the planet. Now, when you look back at the history of the globe, it actually took around 1,800 years to get the first billion in place. So you can see that we're picking up a lot of pace in terms of adding all of the people. So in today's video, we'll have a look at the history of the population, how quickly we got to 8 billion people. And then we'll look at the forecasts and see how much we're going to grow over the next 50 years. And I'll give you another spoiler alert heads up here, that in 30 years' time, it's estimated that we'll be at 10 billion people. So that's a 25% increase from where we are today. And the planet already feels relatively full. So adding another 25% on top is really going to increase that density and put a lot of pressure on the global economy. And that's really what we're here to talk about. What is the impact of all of these extra people on the global economy? Will it be positive or will it have an overall negative impact? We'll then have a look at population by regions and population figures. We'll look at the 10 largest countries in the world. We'll then have a look at what percentage of the population is currently over 65. What that number is forecast to be in 2030 and what it will be in 2050. And that's going to be a really important part of our analysis because as medicine improves, nutrition improves, everybody's living longer. But the problem with the older population is that a lot of them don't contribute to the economy. And therefore, there's a problem with regards to being able to fund all of the people who are retired. And then once we've been through all the data, I'll finish up with my summaries to what I think is going to happen to the world and the population over the course of the next 30 years and what the implications of all of that are for the global economy. So before we get started, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you haven't got time to watch the whole thing, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that supported the channel. Really appreciate it. And some of the feedback that I did get from the recent video that I posted on FTX was that everybody likes to see videos of cats. So there's a quick one to put everybody into a good mood. But I know that not everybody likes cats. People tend to like dogs or cats. There's a bit of a split all across the world. So just to keep everybody happy, here's a quick video of a dog. Right, that's enough nonsense for one video. Let's get on with some of the analysis. This chart shows the actual and projected number of people in the world and the growth rate between 1950 and 2050, so a 100-year period. In 1950, the population of the world was an estimated 2.5 billion, and it took around 37 years to double that figure to 5 billion by 1987. As I just mentioned, by 2011, the population of the world had increased to 7 billion, and it's now forecast to increase to 8 billion by November 2022. Over the last 100 years, the period of fastest growth in population was 1962 to 1965, where there was an increase of 2.1% per year. Since that time, the pace of population growth has slowed by more than half owing to reduced levels of fertility. In 2020, for the first time since 1950, the rate of population growth fell below 1% per year, and it's projected to continue to slow in the next few decades. Global population could grow to around 8.5 billion by 2030, and is forecast to reach 9.7 billion in 2050. This chart shows the historic and forecast population of the world between 1950 and 2050, split out by 8 individual regions. And as you can see from the chart, the regions are Sub-Saharan Africa, Northern Africa and West Asia, Central and Southern Asia, Eastern and Southeastern Asia, Latin America and the Caribbean, Australia and New Zealand, Oceania excluding Australia and New Zealand, and Europe and North America. The two most populous regions in 2022 were Eastern and Southeastern Asia, which had 2.3 billion people and represented 29% of the global population, and Central and Southern Asia with 2.1 billion, which is 26% of the population. China and India accounted for the largest populations in these regions, with more than 1.4 billion people each. As you can see from the red and pink lines on this graph, the population of Europe and North America is very similar to the population of sub-Saharan Africa. However, the growth trajectory of these two regions is very different. Europe and North America has been growing at an annual rate of less than 1% since the mid-1960s, and reached a growth rate of close to zero in 2020 and 2021. Whereas we have seen a significant increase in the growth rate of the population in sub-Saharan Africa over the last 30 years. Now, one of the interesting things to note from this chart are the forecast rates of growth. So this is the section beyond the dotted line. These are estimates of what's likely to happen over the next 30 years. So if we look at Europe and North America first, which is the red line across the middle of this graph, you can see that it's been leveling off for a long period of time, and it's forecast to continue doing so. So the population is forecast to remain flat over the next 30 years. It's a similar story for Australia and New Zealand, the green line at the very bottom of this chart. There is a slight increase, but it's relatively gentle. Moving up the table, North Africa and Western Asia is forecast to have a continued increase. We've seen a steady increase over the last 50 years, and that's forecast to continue over the next 30. Latin America and the Caribbean is also forecast to increase, but at a slower rate than it has been historically. Sub-Saharan Africa, which has been growing historically at a rate of 2.8% per year, is forecast to continue growing rapidly over the next 30 years. You can see the pink line on this chart is taking that area almost to the highest levels of population by 2050. It doesn't quite catch the other two, but in terms of the rate of growth, it is by far the most rapid. Central and Southern Asia, which includes India and Pakistan, have been growing rapidly over the last 50 years and is forecast to continue growing over the next 30 and actually will become the most populous region in the world by 2050. Eastern and Southern East Asia, which includes China, have been increasing, but there's been a declining rate in recent years. And you can see that the forecast shows that beyond 2030, there will actually be a decline in the number of people in that region. This table shows a breakdown of the eight regions we've just discussed in terms of the absolute numbers. So you can see we've got the forecast figures for 2022, 2030 and 2050. And at the bottom of the table, we've also got a breakdown in terms of the least developed countries, landlocked developing countries and small island developing states. So you can see that at the end of 2022, the population of the world is forecast to be 7.9 billion. By 2030, that will increase to 8.5 billion. And by 2050, we'll be touching 10 billion people. Over that same period, sub-Saharan Africa is forecast to increase from 1.1 billion to 2.1 billion. Central and Southern Asia is forecast to increase from 2 billion to 2.6 billion. Eastern and Southern Asia is remaining static at around 2.3 billion. Latin America and the Caribbean is forecast to increase from 650 million to 750 million. Australia and New Zealand is forecast to increase from 31 to 38 million. And Europe and North America is forecast to remain flat at around 1.1 billion. Now, interestingly, from an economic perspective, the least developed countries in the world are forecast to increase from 1.1 billion to 1.9 billion. And that represents almost a doubling in size of those less developed countries. And of course, that puts a huge amount of economic strain on those regions because you need to keep feeding all of those people. It doesn't automatically follow that the more people you have, the more production you have, and therefore the more GDP and wealth you have. In a developing country, it doesn't work like that. You may have more people, but that potentially just puts more pressure on the economy and more strain on the global food chain. And the population of landlocked developing countries is forecast to increase from 550 million to 950 million. And the reason that this category has been highlighted is that landlocked countries face more challenges because they can't bring anything in by sea. Everything has to be imported over land or by air. And that tends to be more expensive and you need more infrastructure to be able to do that. And of course, developing countries, one of the things that they lack is infrastructure. So this is a really big challenge. How do you keep feeding double the amount of people when you're in a landlocked state? It's a really big challenge because the shipping costs are a big part and it's really difficult to manage. And the population of small island developing states is forecast to increase from 74 million to 87 million. And the reason that this has been highlighted is that islands tend to have to import a lot of different things. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been talking about Sri Lanka, and that is a relatively small island that's off the south of India. And they've had major problems because they are dependent on food and fuel imports. And therefore, they have to buy all of those items. And as a result of the Ukraine war, we've seen almost a 50% increase in food and fuel costs. And Sri Lanka just couldn't afford to pay for that. They ran out of currency and now they're in a complete state of chaos and need a bailout. So an increase from 74 million to 87 million in small developing island populations is going to put a lot of pressure on those economies, and potentially we could have more situations like Sri Lanka. This table is showing what the 10 most populated countries in the world were in 1990 and how the situation is forecast to change to 2022 and 2050. So you can see that back in 1990, China was by far the most populated country in the world with over 1.1 billion people. And at that time, India was ranked at number 2 with less than 900 million, the United States number 3 with 248 million, Indonesia number 4 with 181 million, Brazil 5 with 149 million, Russia 6 at 148 million, Japan 7 at 123 million, Pakistan 8 at 114 million, Bangladesh 9 with 106 million and Nigeria 10th with 94 million. Over the last 30 years, the top four have remained unchanged. However, the numbers have moved significantly. China is now above 1.4 billion, but India is also above 1.4 billion. So this represents rapid growth. Compared to what's happened in China, India is almost caught up. The United States has increased to 337 million and Indonesia 275, which also represents a rapid increase. In terms of the remainder of the top 10, Pakistan has jumped from number 8 to number 5 on the list and has more than doubled its population over the last 30 years. It now has a population of over 234 million. Nigeria has also more than doubled its population and is now the 6th most populated country in the world with more than 216 million people. Brazil has dropped down to 7th on the list despite increasing its population to 215 million. Bangladesh has risen to 8th on the list with an increase of more than 50% to 170 million. Russia has remained relatively flat and dropped to number 9 on the list. And Japan has dropped out of the top 10 and been replaced by Mexico, which has seen an increase of around 50% and now has a population above 127 million. The forecast top 10 for 2050 is very different to the situation we saw in 1990. India is expected to become the most populated country in the world and have almost 1.7 billion people by 2050. China is forecast to drop down to number 2 and actually reduce its population to around 1.3 billion. The USA is forecast to remain at number 3 with 375 million. Nigeria will be up to number 4 with a similar population to the USA. Pakistan will be number 5 with 366 million. Indonesia drops to number 6 with 317 million. Brazil will be number 7 with 231 million. The Democratic Republic of Congo is forecast to come in at number 8 and increase its population from a forecast of 97 million in 2022 to 215 million by 2050. So this is by far the most rapidly growing country in the world. Ethiopia is expected to join the top 10 at number 9 with a population of 213 million, which is almost double the situation from 2022. And Bangladesh drops to number 10 on the list with a population of around 204 million. Now, this chart shows the percentage of population aged 65 years or over for the various regions we've just discussed. And obviously the reason that this is important is that 65 has historically been classified as the age when people would retire. Now, I know things are changing, people are working longer, working life is different today, so you don't automatically have to go to the office to continue working. But as a rule of thumb, once you hit 65, a lot of people like to retire, or maybe they're just not as productive in terms of the economy. So this table really shows which countries have aging populations. And of course, the other factor here is the life expectancy. So in more developed worlds, everybody has a higher life expectancy. Wealthier countries usually offer a better lifestyle for individuals. They have better forms of medicine and medical care, and therefore people live longer. So as you would expect, Europe and North America currently has the highest percentage of population over 65, with around 19%. and that's forecast to increase to 22% by 2030 and a whopping 27% by 2050. Australia and New Zealand currently have the second highest rate at just under 17%, and that's forecast to increase to 19% by 2030 and 24% by 2050. Eastern and Southeast Asia currently has around 13% of the population above 65 years old, but is expected to increase to 16% by 2030 and 26% by 2050. And we're also seeing a rapid increase in Latin America and the Caribbean that currently has around 9%, but is forecast to increase to 19% by 2050. But one of the things that's striking about this chart is what's going on in sub-Saharan Africa. We've just discussed that that's the area of the world that's growing the most rapidly. So obviously they've got high fertility rate. They've got a lot of babies being born. So those babies are not going to be over 65 within the term of this chart. But the current percentage of people above 65 in sub-Saharan Africa is 3%, and that's forecast to increase to only 4.7% by 2050. So that is a stark contrast to the situation we've got in Europe and North America. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because firstly, it's a landmark achievement to hit 8 billion people. So we need to record that and be aware that that's how many people we've got on the planet. But when you look at how quickly the population is expanding, it is quite frightening. In 1950, there were 2.5 billion people on the planet. By 2011, there was almost a 3 times increase in the number of people when we hit 7 billion. And over the last 11 years, we've added another 1 billion people. And it's now forecast that by 2050, we will have 10 billion people on this planet. Now, there are a number of implications of all of that. Firstly, from a food perspective, that is a lot of people to feed, and we don't have an increasing amount of land. The amount of land that we're using to farm and produce food is limited. Now, we do have fertilizers, and obviously we can use fertilizers to increase the yield and therefore grow more crops. But the problem with fertilizers is that they do have a knock-on impact onto the environment because you're forcing that soil to be able to grow more food. You're putting nutrients into it. And a lot of those nutrients do wash through into the water tables. And then you get problems appearing elsewhere. It has impacts on marine life, so fish and other creatures that live in the water. It has implications for algae and plant life that are in water. Often you'll get pollution or stagnant water in areas where you're using a lot of fertilizer because it's causing problems with all of the water courses. And of course, as we've seen from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the cost of fertilizer is expensive. And there's been a dramatic increase over the course of the Ukraine war because most of the fertilizer that's used all around the world is nitrogen-based and it's derived from natural gas. So as the price of natural gas went up, so did the price of fertilizer. So we can produce more food from the same amount of land, but it's going to cost more because you're going to need more fertilizer and use intensive farming techniques. And the problem with food costing more is it has a disproportionate impact on the poorer nations around the world. So the developed world can afford a 5 or 10 or 15 or 20% increase in food prices because food is a relatively small portion of their total budget. But in poorer countries, people are spending a lot more of their income on food. It can be anything from 50 to 90% of their weekly income is spent on food. So when you've got that sort of dynamic, you can't afford a 5 or 10 or 15 or 20% increase in food prices because you just don't have enough money and you don't have any savings. So therefore, as the price of food goes up, it puts more pressure onto the poorer nations because they just can't afford to buy it. So therefore, you need more aid. You need to help people out. And when we look at the split of where the growth is coming from in the global population, a lot of it is coming from the poorer nations. So it's disproportionate in terms of the impact that it's having on those economies and the global economy. So the provision of food is going to be one of the big challenges as the population keeps increasing. And we've seen that through the course of the Ukraine war, because food prices went up. We saw the price of wheat and corn go up dramatically in the early stages of the war. And a lot of countries are dependent on importing wheat because it's used to make flour, which is then used to make bread and pasta and noodles and couscous. And the increase in those prices, combined with changes to the global supply chain that we saw as a result of the war, countries from the West no longer wanted to buy anything from Russia, so they didn't want their food substances. So that meant that all of those countries had to buy food from other countries, and that had a knock-on impact to the food chain. And of course, the richer countries can afford the higher prices, so they can afford to outbid some of the African countries to get hold of those goods. But the problem is that leaves the African countries first firstly, with a shortage because they've lost their supplier. And secondly, they're having to go into the open market and try to buy food, which is now more expensive because everybody else is bidding for it. So I think the biggest single issue that's facing the world over the next 20 to 30 years is food supplies and whether or not all of the countries in the world, firstly, can obtain the right amount of food, and then secondly, whether they can afford to buy it. But if you take a step back from food and just think about the global economy. So if the globe is adding another 25%, the global economy is going to have to increase by 25% just to remain as we are for the status quo. Now, when you think about it over the course of 28 years, that isn't actually that challenging because it's less than 1% growth per annum. And when we talk about GDP and general growth, usually most countries are looking at 2 to 3 to 4% per year. So the global economy should easily be able to grow by 25% over the course of the next 28 years. But one of the big challenges is what's going to happen with the population, because it's not just an equal number of people in all age groups. What we've got today is an aging population, particularly in the developed world. Because the developed world has become so good at keeping people alive, feeding them with medicine, treating them, being able to cure various diseases, giving people better nutrition, eating healthier, cutting back on things that used to kill people like smoking and drinking. All of these factors mean that everybody's got the chance of increasing how long they live. So the life expectancy in a lot of countries around the world is already above 80. And we could see over the course of the next 20 to 30 years, those figures pushing up towards 90. So what we're going to have is a big percentage of the population, 25% or so in a lot of the developed countries, being over the age of 65. And the problem with that is that those people tend not to contribute back to society in terms of economics. So a lot of them will have retired, they'll just be taking their pension and living a nice, happy existence. And that puts a bit of pressure on the rest of society because you're then having to pick up the weight of all of those extra people. And then, of course, you have issues such as long-term healthcare, people with dementia living longer, all of those factors. So there will be some financial pressure that will be put onto the globe to support all of those elderly people through their later stages of life. So I think in summary, the two biggest challenges that the world is facing over the course of the next 20 to 30 years is making sure that they've got enough food to go around, making sure that food is affordable and can be distributed to all of the places that it needs to go to, and looking after the aging population, making sure the economy keeps growing and we've made enough provision to keep everybody alive and happy and having a great time. So I wanted to post this video because it's an historic moment going through the 8 billion people mark on the planet. We've now gone past that. We're now on our way to 9 billion. That's the next landmark that we can go for. And I'll make a video on that, I promise. Not sure how soon it will be. Probably not for another 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Who knows? Depends on how quickly that population actually increases. Anyway, hopefully you've enjoyed this video. Hopefully you found it useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. If you like the cat and the dog video, then please let me know. And if you haven't subscribed, then please do so.